Hey, good morning. Thank you for coming so early. Although I'm still on Central Time, so it doesn't seem quite so early to me. The activities I'm going to talk about today are really sort of informal education. And one of the reasons for that is that we've had trouble getting time in the curricula of our different health professions, medical, nursing, PT, PA, so forth. They all are committed to including more public health content, but it becomes difficult to find the time to do that. And particularly to find time for the different professions to come together. So in identifying some service activities that we were working on, we saw this as an opportunity to bring in students from the different health professions. I want to say we have no relationships to disclose. Dr. Akeri, our MPH program director, is already flying back so she can have Halloween with her kids this year. My kids are older, so I don't have to worry about that so much. I wanted to note the IPAC report, and I think you just mentioned that and that you're on the committee. Thank you for your work. We draw on a number of different competency sets when we develop our curricula, but also when we think about the activities and trying to make them more scholarly. And so this is one of the reports the faculty have drawn on. I did not make these competencies specifically available to the students, but we do draw on those, and we're working on incorporating those, and I'm encouraging faculty when they develop scholarly service learning activities to think about making the competencies more clear, both to the students and to the faculty who are volunteering for these activities. So there's competencies in the areas of values and ethics, roles and responsibilities, and I've just highlighted a few here that that were relevant to the projects that we were conducting. But you can get that report online. And I guess these slides will be available online as well, so you can read more. I've got a lot of text in some of the slides, but that's more to provide you with information. So competencies on interprofessional communication, teams and teamwork, and so forth. So what I'm going to talk about today are two different projects that we agreed to do on behalf of associations or community partners that we had, and that we tried to turn into opportunities to involve interprofessional teams of students and faculty. And one quick aside, I forgot to put my slide in there. Our department is celebrating its centennial year. So in 1912, 100 years ago, we were founded at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston, primarily to deal with infectious diseases. But we're still dealing with infectious diseases, but the focus has changed quite a bit in 100 years, and we're dealing more with chronic diseases and so forth. But anyway, we're real proud that we've been there 100 years, and we're spending the year reminding all of the clinical departments and the basic science departments how important and central we are. So there you go. The first project was a community survey, and the two objectives we established for this, and the students were aware of these objectives, that we wanted to provide the student with experience in conducting community-based interviews and surveys. And also, we wanted them to have a general understanding of the relationship between community health centers and our university, because we do have several FQHCs in the area. We did this project on behalf of St. Vincent's House and Clinic, which is in the central part of the island, sort of the east end. Galveston is an island, and we're right out in the Gulf, and we're just sort of two ways on and off. They're both bridges. There's a ferry that runs. It's a really interesting place, very ethnically diverse, very economically diverse. It was hit by a hurricane, and I'm blocking this for good reasons because it was traumatic, but 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember exactly when, and there was a lot of flooding, a lot of wind damage. And St. Vincent's House and Clinic is located on the east end of the island in a relatively low-income area, very ethnically diverse, Anglo-Hispanic and black area. There's a small Vietnamese population on the island, not huge. It's more as you move up towards Houston. But this was an area that was hit very bad by flooding. It's away from the Gulf side. It's on the bay side of the island. And I don't know if you remember Hurricane Ike. But the water washed around behind the island and came up and flooded that one. This is quite close to the university. So there was a lot of flooding again, low-income housing in this area. The university was hit very badly. The university was closed down. St. Vincent's House was closed down briefly, but reopened its clinics before the university could reopen anything beyond the emergency room. The lower level of this is was a daycare center that had to be relocated. The second floor is where their clinics were, and so their clinics were not damaged too badly. But they run a food bank. They run all kinds of social services. So they also have a nurse. They have multiple clinics. One is a student-run free clinic in the evenings. And another key clinic is the nurse practitioner clinic, which runs during the days. And they were seeking FQHC lookalike status for the nurse practitioner clinic so that there could be some reimbursement for that particular clinic. This became very political, moving from a free clinic status to a paid clinic status. And even though it was different across the different clinics, this became very, very political. We were working again in the post-Ike period, and the other FQHCs in the area were hesitant to promote this happening. They didn't like the idea of the competition, even though the free clinics were clearly competition. They didn't want the competition for the dollars. And so there was a lot of politics involved, which became another interesting aspect for the students. So we recruited, we put out calls, you can see in the third bullet point there, we sent lots of email messages out, we went to all medical students, all public health students, members of different interest groups in public health, global health, bilingual health. We hit the health professions and nursing schools as able. We sent the email to those schools and some of them sent it out more widely than others. But we ended up recruiting 18 students and 7 faculty volunteers. They came from the School of Medicine, Graduate School, the School of Health Professions, primarily the physician assistant and PT programs. We had a lot more students. This is probably a third of what actually volunteered originally. These are the ones who showed up. So that was another issue. And what helped with the PA and PT programs is they had research methods classes that gave course credit for participating. But we had a good mix of really committed students and faculty. All the interviews were conducted on 3 consecutive Saturdays in fall of 2011. We had the students all complete online ethics training for research on human subjects. The faculty, too, most of the faculty had already completed that. We provided them fact sheets from Kaiser with information on community health centers and their role, so they'd have some basic background. And then before we went out in the field each Saturday, we conducted a training session when we talked a lot about St. Vincent's. They were all familiar with it, but we wanted them to understand what the nurse practitioner clinic was trying to do. And how that fit in with the broader goals of St. Vincent's Clinic and House. We described how the survey had been put together. We had attempted to have student participation in developing the survey, but it was the nurse practitioner clinic runs in the mornings, and most of the students were in classes and weren't free to participate in pilot and so forth. We talked about it. We had some tablets. I'll show you in a minute. We talked about how to use those devices and so forth, and we went through protocols on how to approach people and do the survey. I'm probably going too slow here. So we selected a couple census block groups on the island to represent key demographic groups. We had interview teams of 2 or more that went door to door with faculty kind of tailing along. Faculty were kind of walking down the middle of the street while we had teams of students on either side of the block and kind of knocking on every door. Again, post-Ike, both the neighborhoods we went into had a lot of vacant houses that had not been repaired. And it was difficult sometimes to see whether a house was vacant or not. We told students to knock and see unless it was obviously vacant. But if there were any signs that were posted, no soliciting, beware of dog, anything like that, we said just, you know, leave them alone. So we ended up getting 50 surveys completed, interviews completed in the neighborhoods. And then there's a community center event that was held adjacent to one of the selected neighborhoods, and we also went there and completed another 24 interviews. So these are the survey devices we used. We got a grant from our Academy of Master Teachers to purchase the tablets. Like you can see I have a future as a hand model there. And so we were able to use Snap Survey software and then these PCs, and we made other uses of those as well. So I know this is really not the interprofessional part, but this is kind of interesting. But so these are some of the characteristics. We had 30 households with at least one child. Most of the households had at least one adult in the pre-65 age, and 14 of them had senior adults. So the adult's health insurance status, 29% did not have any form of insurance. In Texas, the rate's 25%, so that's And it's actually probably low for that area of the island, but this is what we got with the people we interviewed. And what we saw a lot when we've been at the free clinic in the evenings, we get a lot of adults show up whose partner may have insurance through a job, but they can't afford to purchase the family policy. And then the children, of course, often get insurance through CHIP or Medicaid. 16% of the kids, the parents reported they didn't have any insurance, and these were kids who were relatively healthy and hadn't really been to the doctor much. But the big problem we see when we go into the clinics and when we were talking to people is uninsured adults who need chronic care disease management. So we did, we asked some basic questions. What kind of, were you unable to get any of the types of care that you needed? Big problems with dental. A lot of people reporting they were showing up at the emergency room with impacted, jaws and not being able to do much about it. So that's something the free clinic is interested in, adding dental services. They don't currently have them. We don't have a dental school affiliated with us. The county clinic, which is off-island, does have dental services. There's a long waiting list to get in, so that's been a problem. The students, we did put them in interprofessional teams. What? I'm sorry, what? What?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go. The slides are online. I'm going to just... Did I really take that long? I'm sorry. Start talking about this stuff. The students had difficulty persuading people to participate, but the people were very thankful that we cared enough to ask them about their problems and to try and do something about it. The second project, we conducted grant reviews of Healthy People 2020 community intervention proposals. Again, you can look at these online. I apologize that I start talking about these clinics, and it's very... it's emotional, it's emotional. Okay, so we had some teams, we reviewed some grant projects, we had students from different health professions, we paired them with faculty mentors, and we did get some feedback here, but the students spent less time preparing to do the grant review, but more time actually doing the grant review. So that was an area we learned we could provide them more training. The bottom down here, the students suggested that faculty needed clearer mentoring guidelines. So this was an area we really didn't pull it off quite the way we intended to. Both of these projects stimulated student interest in public health and its relationship to clinical medicine. We had students join our student public health organization. Faculty and student response to both projects was very positive, and we're trying to incorporate similar types of experiences into our public health-related electives that we have that are available to students in all the schools. And then finally, this is actually from a health fair that was held in the basement of St. Vincent's before the storm, but our students have for several years gone in and done a portion control display at the health fair. And so what we are developing now is we're calling Health Fair in a Box. We bought all the sort of evidence-based materials about portion control. We have it in a box, and the students can check out the box to go to a health fair. And so there's fake food that's the correct portion size. The students were cooking fish and stuff that morning. It was really awful. And then they're wrapping it, but it still smelled. But then we have the handouts. The students were bringing in too many things. So we have a real focused message. It's an evidence-based health fair elective and not a volunteer activity. And so the students are putting together tip sheets on how to communicate with the public, how to get the message across, and to work together. And then we have a couple other funded projects, one by the state of Texas and another one, the second one by HRSA, in which we're now able to merge some of our community outreach and our education activities. And we're, again, trying to formalize the interprofessional aspects of our service activities. And I apologize for taking so long. But it's, the need is so incredible. I mean, this neighborhood and clinic is right next to a major university. And I'm getting off target, but UTMB was founded to provide care for the state of Texas. And we did for years and years. Well, I've been there 20 years. When I came, anybody from the state of Texas could come get care. And there have been so many budget cuts from the state, they put it on the county, they don't support it, and they still can't get care anymore. So I got real political questions. Thank you.